You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Is 9:07. Currently fair skies, 5 degrees above zero at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up at 9:21 this morning, we'll be talking to Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. Start a little talk about the Super Bowl, but also talk about last week, significant changes in Wisconsin high school sports in terms of playoff qualifications and seeding for high school football starting this fall. So we'll talk about that coming up with Jimmy Cuska coming up in just a few minutes. Also, tonight we have high school athletics. Wausau West Warrior Hockey, final week of the regular season. Wausau West hosting Eau Claire North. Coverage will begin with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 o'clock right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up at the end of this hour, we'll have our daily history lesson, including our number for the day quiz. Start another new week, see whether or not Ian can get a passing grade this week. Did not pass last week. Failed.
No, I did not.
Oh, hate that F word, fail.
Yeah.
We're going to turn it around this week, right?
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to turn it around. Do we know the topic for today's
I haven't
right
looked
now?
Yet. Let me see here. By the way, that is Ian Welsh, our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer.
Morning, Chad.
Good morning. I know you were hoping to go to an escape room on Saturday, but because of the 9 inches of snow that we got, did not. Are you going to reschedule? You going to go do that this weekend?
We actually, group and I are talking. We're talking about it over the weekend. We're going to reschedule it for March. It's probably best for everybody because then we can, you know, plan ahead a little bit more. And, you know, hopefully by then the temperatures will be in the 30s and not in the single digits is what they are now.
All right. Our number for the day topic.
Okay.
I'm going to make an audible.
All right.
At the line of scrimmage, because the one that I get some information every day, and it includes a number for the day. Sometimes I'll use it, sometimes I won't. Today, I'm not going to use it, because today, let's do a practice one right here. See whether or not you would have got it right, because then you can say, oh, I should have kept it. But the number for the day that was sent to me, the percentage of drivers who have forgotten where they parked.
Oh, jeez.
So if I was to have given it to you,
sometimes.
If I was to have given it to you, this would have been the choices.
Okay.
44%, 64%, 84%.
Well, just taking a guess here, I would probably say 64%. I would have gone with B to sort of help with that number.
Well, it's a good thing we changed it then, because okay, you would have got it wrong. 44% of drivers have forgotten where they parked.
The smallest number.
That seems like a low number to me, too. I would have thought it would have been higher, because I have forgotten where I parked.
Yeah.
In fact, they had a whole Seinfeld episode once based on the gang at a mall forgetting where they parked. So that will not be our number for the day.
Okay. What
our, we will have one more day that involves the Super Bowl.
Okay. I'm good with that.
So that will be our number for the day quiz. It will involve the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'll keep that in my mind.
By the way, I wanted to let folks know, because yesterday morning, and then again this coming Sunday, and the following Sunday, are always three of my, I always enjoy these days, because these are the three weekends where playoff brackets are released by the WIAA for hockey, girls basketball, and boys basketball.
Nice.
So yesterday, they put out the brackets for girls and boys hockey. This coming Sunday, they will put out the brackets for girls basketball. The following Sunday, they'll put out the brackets for boys basketball. It's always a very exciting year, time of year for me. Always look forward to seeing what the brackets look like. And some good high seeds for teams here in Central Wisconsin. Boys Hockey Division 1, sectional number 1, Wausau West, number 2 seed. Very good for the Warriors. They get a first-round bye when the playoffs get underway next week. Wausau West, on Thursday, February 20th, will play host to either number 7 Superior or number 10 Thomas Sparta. And, of course, during the course of the playoffs, all the Wausau West games will be broadcast right here on 98.9 WXCO. Other teams in that same bracket include Stevens Point. Stevens Point, number 1 ranked team in the state, undefeated. They are the number 1 seed in the bracket. As I said, West number 2. Number 3 is New Richmond. Number 4 seeded team in the bracket is Hudson. Number 5, Eau Claire Memorial. Number 6, DC Everest. Number 7, Superior. Number 8 is Chippewa Falls. 9th, Eau Claire North. Number 10, Thomas Sparta. Number 11, Wisconsin Rapids. Number 12, East Merrill United. And number 13, Marshfield. In Division 2, Mosinee, like Wausau West, a number 2 seed. Mosinee will open up the playoffs on Thursday, February the 20th, against number 7 seeded Medford Rib Lake. The number 1 seed in that Division 2 bracket that Mosinee is in is Tomahawk. So another great northern team, Tomahawk, number 1 seed. Then Mosinee, number 2. Lakeland, number 3. Northern Pines, number 4. Antigo, number 5. Sean O'Bondowell, number 6. Medford Rib Lake, number 7. And Rhinelander, number 8. And then finally, the girls' side, Central Wisconsin Storm, number 1 seed. They got the number 1 seed because on Saturday, a game that we had right here on 98.9 WXCO, Storm defeated Superior 2-0. So that was basically the battle for the number 1 seed in that bracket. So Storm, number 1 seeded, they will get a bye right into the sectional semifinals. They will take on the winner of the game between number 4 seeded Wisconsin Valley Union and number 5 seeded North of Pines. So Tuesday, February the 25th, that will be the first Storm playoff game. Superior, number 2 seed, They will take on either number 3 seed Hayward or number 6 seeded Medford Rib Lake. So very exciting time. Looking forward to a very busy winter playoff season.
Nice.
With hockey, both boys and girls, girls basketball and boys basketball, right here on 98.9 WXCO. And why do we do it? Why do we do that? You always know why we do it. Ian, why do we do it? Why do we get so busy during the winter? Why do we get so busy during the playoffs? Why do we do it?
It's because we are very, very proud to be the only local Wausau radio station that still covers play-by-play action of high school sports in the winter, spring, fall, and sometimes maybe in the summer, possibly.
Also, we enjoy letting people know about what the students do, not just in sports, but also in the arts.
Yeah.
And coming up tomorrow morning on this program, we will be talking to cast members of the Central Wisconsin Children's Theater production of Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
That is coming up at the Venega Theater at University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, Wausau campus.
Yeah.
And
2 weekends of performances. They have 8 shows altogether.
Yep. The first productions will be this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then they will have productions Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next week. So we are looking forward to finding out more about Les Mis and talking about the production tomorrow morning here on this very program.
It'll be great to have them on the show.
Yes, it will. And if you have an opportunity, get those tickets and go see the show.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we're going to be joined by Sports Director of Civic Media, Jimmy Cuska. Talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. Talk about what's going on in high school sports. A lot on the plate with Jimmy Cuska. Coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, very happy to welcome back to the program the sports director of our conglomerate that is Civic Media, Jimmy Cuska. Jimmy, good morning.
Morning. You had a little more snow up in Wausau in that area than we did here in southern Wisconsin. I envy you because we have not had any chance to get outside and do anything fun like sledding even or snowmobiling, much less. So I envy all of you in north central Wisconsin right now that you've gotten a little bit of snow on the ground to get out and enjoy.
I know it. We got about 9 inches Saturday. And you know this as well as I do. And we're going to talk some high school sports in the second segment. But Saturday, I'm going to give a tip of the cap to Superior's girls hockey team because I would say 99 out of 100 times – with the kind of snow that we got here in central Wisconsin, they would have said, "No, we're not going to come down They came down. They played the game. And I also know that one reason they did that is because we had the seeding meetings this weekend, and they knew that they needed a win to get a number one seed. But still, I love it when not at the so often at the first sign of snow, the whole schedule gets blown up.
Yeah, hockey is just a different breed, Chad. Hockey, they will go through a blizzard to get a game in. I think you know that the hockey mentality is a little different when it comes to weather.
It's an exciting time of year when it comes to high school sports, so we'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. But obviously, you know, I think everybody the day after the Super Bowl, the thing about it is, I don't think it really mattered it was a blowout. I think Super Sunday is more of a social occasion than anything else. But were you surprised that Kansas City didn't have anything more to give the Eagles than they did yesterday?
You know, the Super Bowl is such a weird game. I mean, football-wise, it always seems like we've got, you know, you can analyze it every which way you want, but with how long the halftime is, all the extra stuff that goes into it, football almost feels secondary to the whole thing. Like you said, it's more of a social event. So to me, if you're looking at it strictly from a football analysis standpoint, I think that when the Packers made the postseason and played the Eagles, it really showed what kind of talent the Eagles had, especially up front on the offensive and defensive lines. And I know it sounds very boring to say this, and I say this too lovingly as a football coach at the high school level, but it is really won or lost up front, right? And I think Philadelphia showed that formula is true even at the professional ranks. A blowout probably was on the mind of most, but, you know, at the same time, both of the teams that were going in, extremely talented. And, again, for Packers fans, they got to see up close in a hard-fought game in the first round of the playoffs just how good the Eagles really were.
And I think you hit it on the head about, you know, up front, because the Eagles were able to use their four-man front to get pressure on Mahomes. And Mahomes, who has earned his status as one of the great quarterbacks of this era and perhaps in NFL history, he looked like a very nervous young man. He made some really poor throws when the game was, you know, in doubt early. That pick six really, I thought, kind of stretched it out. But you can even make the great quarterbacks look less than good and less than average when you put that pressure on, and that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Well, that's why edge rushers make the big bucks in the NFL. That's why they get the mega contracts. If you don't have a prime quarterback of your own, you use that cap space typically. The old thinking was on a lockdown corner, right? But now teams are throwing, you know, nine-figure contracts at edge rushers. So, you know, that's been kind of the MO in the NFL for years is, you know, if you don't have that elite quarterback, and there are only a few, then you need to get after the quarterback in order to give yourself a chance of success. And well, that's what Philadelphia shows you with the front, as you said, blitzing very little in the game last night, but still able to get it done. And of course, a special hat tip, of course, to Zach Bond, Wisconsin's own, coming up with a big interception early. It is great to see when the Wisconsin guys are shining on those big stages.
My weekend highlight was actually watching the Bucks-Sixers game yesterday, not because of the Bucks and the Sixers, but because of Hubie Brown. And I thought it was just a wonderful job that ABC ESPN did. But talking about the Bucks, it was an impressive performance. They had, I think, 24 three-point field goals. I was taken aback while watching and thinking, hey, remember when they won the championship less than 4 years ago? Their big three was Giannis, Drew, and Chris. And none of them were on the court yesterday. Obviously, two have been
only
traded.
Four. Only four of the players that were on that championship are still there.
It's amazing. But the Bucks,
and it's only been 4 years.
The Bucks made the big deal, sending Chris Middleton off to Washington. Kyle Kuzma, the big centerpiece in the trade back. What are your thoughts on that deal?
You know, it doesn't necessarily feel like a lateral move in terms of talent. It just, you know, I think for Bucks fans, they have to accept that, you know, salaries and things like luxury taxes, those are a factor in any deals that are made. And that was really what the Bucks were doing during the trade deadline, was getting that financial flexibility. In a vacuum, when you look at talent and things like that, yeah, I mean, Chris Middleton had been banged up and then hurt, still probably has something to bring to the table. Kuzma's a little younger, but You know, it wasn't the kind of move that's going to, you know, bring a championship back to Wisconsin, but it is the kind of move that gives the Bucks roster flexibility and the ability to make moves, going into next year and beyond, where they don't have a draft pick locked up in the second apron, right? That's the new NBA rule. A draft pick gets locked from trading in the early 2030s, things like that. Some really obscure NBA rules regarding where your salary is, and things like that. That's what the Bucks were maneuvering around in all of this. I don't know if the championship window exists. I think as long as Giannis is there, it's open at least a little. But these trades had less to do about going all in on a ring chase this year, and I think more to do about finding that flexibility to remake this roster. It honestly, to me, felt like the move was kind of the first move in a series of things to happen that could eventually get the Bucks back to where they want to be.
And I agree with what you said. I think that financially that was the reason for the deal, that Kuzma's contract becomes better and better over the next couple of years. But at the same time, as a fan, it's sad to see the guys that you really like, both as a player and as a person, guys like Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton, move on so quickly. I guess that quickly is a relative word, but we're going to take a quick timeout, come back, talk more with Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. Some significant change when it comes to playoff qualification and seeding in high school football and getting towards the high school winter playoffs. So we'll talk more with Jimmy Cuska coming up after an information update coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Time is 9:35. We are talking to Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska, and a lot of stuff going on in high school athletics. And, of course, I always find this time of year to be really fun because three consecutive Sundays I get to spend a lot of time in front of a computer hitting refresh, waiting for brackets to appear. Yesterday it was for the high school hockey playoffs with the boys and the girls. Next week it will be the girls basketball brackets being released, and then the boys basketball after that. Really busy time of year when it comes to high school sports.
It really is. And, you know, this back half of February going into March is when everything sort of overlaps. So this week, you know, as you mentioned, you get the hockey brackets, you get the wrestling brackets for boys and girls wrestling. And then you get, of course, girls basketball, boys basketball, all the other winter sports, gymnastics, everything else that's happening, swimming and diving. It is a really busy time of the year. And it overlaps with tournament time, in college as well, especially with the Division III colleges in Wisconsin towards the end of the month with their conference tournaments, the NCAA tournament. It can really, really be a busy time. These sports overlap times of the years can be pretty incredible, especially, you know, the football season officially just ended last night, right? So now everybody's attention has kind of turned to, more to the winter sports, which kind of go through the spring. And then, of course, you can't forget, too, for baseball fans, you know, the start of spring training, which is happening real soon. The Brewers get underway next week already, believe it or not. So it is really one of my favorite times of the year, but there's a lot of chaos of this, too, as you know, Chad, because we spend, you and I will be spending most of our nights out on the road somewhere.
And making sure that the folks that provide us the payments to do playoff games get us the money in a timely way, but it's always a very difficult thing to try and do. Last week, the WIAA Board of Control had a meeting. Excuse me. As many folks around the the state have been fighting illness. I've been one of them. All these games have been doing. But last week, WIAA Board of Control had a meeting and significant change when it comes to qualifying for the football playoffs starting in 2025. I think, in addition to what happened last week, I don't think you can underestimate the issues that occurred last fall when two teams that were supposed to play in the playoffs were not because of errors made in the office. My theory, and I could be completely wrong, is that actually led to maybe quicker change than we otherwise normally see in the WIAA, because it really is a rather significant change that occurred rather quickly, didn't it?
So, Chad, first, I've got a lot of details on all of this, including interviews with both Jesse Norris, who's the head coach at Edgewood in Madison, who he, along with one of his assistants, came up with the new matrix, the new formula that's being used, as well as Brian Kaminsky, who is the head coach at Sun Prairie East, and he's the president of the WFCA, the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association, talking about that very thing. You can find it, by the way, on our sports tab at WXCO.fm or on Civic Media's websites as well. So I put a lot of this together as context and background. But what was funny in talking about it is that both Coach Kaminsky and Coach Norris talked about how they have been sort of putting this together a little bit before the season, but the attention and awareness on the current system really blew up, like you mentioned, when the WIAA released 8-player and 11-player fields that were incorrect. They quickly addressed the 8-player field and corrected it. They had swapped out a team that was supposed to be in over another team. But they didn't do that for 11-player football. And to the school's credit, both in Greenfield and Madison West, they chose not to sue the WIAA, which would have delayed the start of the postseason in divisions 1-4, maybe by a week. So to their credit, they didn't actually pursue the legal remedy. Instead, they had to settle for an in-person apology from the WIAA after the tournament had been concluded. But the attention and awareness that brought exacerbated the other issues that coaches have been talking about for years. And one of the biggest issues that they were having was that there was no transparency in how they seeded the teams in the postseason. So what you saw this year is you would see conference champions going on the road as a 6 seed, playing teams they had beaten as a 3 seed that had one more loss to them because of an unknown algorithm, and coaches had no recourse. There's no appeal process for that, and there's no consideration given for like the head-to-head matchup, or if in the case, can they move a seed to help accommodate a travel issue? So there were some mitigating issues in all of this. And it led to this perfect storm of that this matrix was being developed kind of starting in the summer, fall, where they were kind of thinking, what are ways we can improve the sport? And one of the ways they were looking at was, well, how can we make playoff qualification make a little more sense? How can we make this process more transparent? And borrowing that Ohio model and tweaking it for Wisconsin, they found a lot of support. In fact, overwhelming support for the plan of about 425 high school football head coaches in Wisconsin. 400 of them took a survey from the WFCA, so almost every coach in the state, and 87.5%, 350 of 400, all agreed with the plan as proposed, and that's what really spurred this through the committee process, and then quickly in front of the Board of Control last week, where it was approved rather easily.
As you mentioned, a lot of the information is in your story at WXCO.FM and civicmedia.us. But what do you think is the biggest takeaway in terms of the changes? I find it very interesting that we're going to know. Usually you don't know what division you're going to be in until the regular season ends. And then they split it up 32, 32, 32. Now you're going to know. Every school is going to know exactly what division they're in. Basically, it's a battle of all the teams that are within a particular division to qualify for the playoffs. That's a big change that I noticed. What's the biggest takeaway that you see, the biggest change? And obviously, as you said, you are an assistant football coach, so it affects you even to a different degree than it does myself and others. What's the biggest thing that you take away from the changes?
So the biggest thing, as you mentioned, is just how it's now we know the division we're in, and then that applies the tournament performance factor in it already. So you know the 52 teams that are in each division to start with an 11 player. So you know going in that you have 51 other teams you're competing with for 32 playoff spots. 32 of you are in, 20 of you are out. You have to be one of the top 32 in your bracket, and you're no longer competing against the state at as a large to get in. You're competing against that division. So some divisions are going to be stronger than others just based on record because of that. I know for us as a Division 7 school, we're the 21st smallest school in the state playing 11-player football right now. We know that in a Division 7 exclusive conference, we're not going to be able to play up a whole lot this year to get some of those extra points for beating larger schools. So we're locked in to seven Division 7 games. But what the other big takeaway from this is some coaches had treated the non-conference part of the schedule because it didn't matter for playoff qualification. It was more of a tiebreaker. If you got the 3 and 4, you needed to win one of those games to have that tiebreaker to get in recent years because of just the math, you know, 365 teams competing for 224 spots. That extra non-conference win helps you in with a better record. But now all nine games are going to matter. So the winning half your conference games no longer guarantees you a playoff spot. So the non-conference games become an opportunity now for you to pick up those points to qualify for the playoffs. And that's a change in the minds of a lot of coaches, especially some of the old school coaches who treated non-conference, they would even sometimes call them preseason games because they didn't matter as much in your mind. But now all nine games are weighted equally in the formula. So now your first game of the year, when you're still figuring out who's going to line up on most of your units, week one has a lot of oddball things. That now matters as much as your week nine game when you hope by then you figured things out and have your guys in roles and things are clicking. Every single game matters. And that's going to be, I think, the single biggest change as just in terms of practical application is that all nine games now matter towards what you do in the postseason.
Last week, I wrote a blog about this, basically the general idea of how the WIAA, I think, was very open to the change and they were able to move it very quickly. And I think that they need to have that mindset when it comes to other sports as well. That there are ways to grow high school sports in the state of Wisconsin, grow the state tournaments in Wisconsin as well. But often the communication between leaders within a sport, coaches within a sport, the schools have not been there. Could this be an opportunity maybe to start opening up ideas, trying to think a little bit beyond where we are today in order to try to help make, say, the hockey state tournament bigger or make the basketball state tournament better or track or softball, baseball, whatever it may be, because it often feels like there's a lot of stagnant within a lot of these sports. And also new ideas are not really welcomed a lot at the WIAA.
I think that this vote was surprising to me, not in that it passed, but at the margin in which it passed, 10-1. On the first part of this, I say that because this board of control has had some weird votes. They unilaterally just shot down any notion of a shot clock at the start of this term. And that was a really surprising move that it didn't move to the membership to be put up on the annual meeting to talk about it. And that's why I was a little worried going into this that they would see this idea, see an opportunity for change within a sport and then just shoot it down and leave it up to the schools to come back with something. But this all originated with coaches and was pushed through with a lot of support. And I think that's what's going to have to happen if there's going to be any changes in other sports, is that it's going to take an overwhelming number of coaches and administrators pounding the table for change. And that's what happened with football in this case. When you have 400 coaches responding in a survey and 7 out of 8 coaches are in favor of it, I don't think there's any disputing that, and that's why this gets through. But things like a shot clock, things like NIL, these are big things that are coming up for the WIAA. I would argue NIL is going to be the biggest thing, more than even the football discussion or a shot clock or expanding the baseball state tournament divisions or any of this other stuff that's happening. NIL is back on the ballot for April. And whether or not the WIAA membership goes with it again or not, however that goes, it's coming one way or another. Other states around us and across the nation are legislating this in their state legislatures. So, you know, there's going to be a time where either the schools control the process of NIL and how they want it to look, or they're going to have to leave it up to elected officials, and politics and high school sports do not mix well. So that's kind of what you're staring down the barrel of right now. Now that the football part of it is out, here in 2 months, we'll have the annual meeting and NIL will be back on the forefront of that. I do agree that there are levels of communication within all of this, but I think that the setup that the WIA has, as much as it limits kind of the change of things, it does allow things to process organically, like this football proposal. There are multiple layers, multiple levels it goes through coaches, advisory committees, then, you know, board of control, all the membership. I think that setup is important because it does allow multiple layers of review. It does give a chance to change things if something doesn't make sense logistically, if it's not going to happen. But change is slow in Wisconsin. That's, I think, why you and I are sitting here a little surprised that in the span of a handful of months, really, we've gone and changed the entire qualification process for high school football in Wisconsin. It only took a handful of months. And this is changing something that's been done this way for many, many years. In fact, leading to what we had a few years ago with the creation of the every 2 year football conference realignment, which completely drastically changed matchups in the state, conferences in the state, in football only. It's amazing how things have changed in just a few short years here in Wisconsin.
And from no transparency on how you basically get in, I imagine this year, every week, you're going to be able to take a look and see how many points you've got and where you stand. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting.
Where do you stack up amongst the 52 teams in your 11-player division? And, Chad, before we forget, I think the other very, very significant change in football, finally expanding the 8-player football playoff field to 32. That is a massive change, and it really does a lot for the equity in the sport. In that now a larger percentage of 8-player teams can make it. It should only really help to grow that sport.
Just got to get them to Camp Randall, but that's a whole different discussion. Jimmy, thank you for the info. Thanks again, and check out Jimmy's articles at WXEO.FM, civicmedia.us. Jimmy, again, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Chad, and I'll just a quick teaser for your listeners and viewers. There will be an article coming up today on the growth of girls wrestling in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. And that is a very, very quick growing sport. So,
you're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Monday morning, February the 10th of 2025. The days keep on rolling. This is day number 41 of this year. There are 324 days remaining in the year 2025. And a few famous events have occurred on this date in history. 1949, Jumping Joe Foulkes, member of the Philadelphia Warriors NBA team, introduced the jump shot, scoring a then NBA record 63 points in a game against the Indianapolis Jets. On this date in 1957, the styrofoam cooler was invented. On this date in 1987, at the Maritime Aquarium in Gothenburg, Sweden, 65-year-old Smiley became the oldest alligator ever to freeze to death when someone apparently turned off the electricity heating her pool.
Oh, my.
On this date in 1993, with 90 million Americans watching, Michael Jackson told Oprah Winfrey his light skin was caused by a disorder called vitiligo. He admitted he'd had minor plastic surgery as well on his nose. On this date in 2024, a report from the Center for Responsive Politics said that millionaires made up the majority of Congress. On this date in 2015, comedian Jon Stewart announced he would leave The Daily Show at the end of the year. Of course, he has returned and now appears on The Daily Show on Mondays. And on this date in 2021, astronomers confirmed the planetoid named Far Far Out has the most distant orbiting the sun, almost four times more distant than Pluto.
Huh. Interesting.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Robert Wagner, Heart to Heart, many other movies and TV shows, 95 years old today. Singer Roberta Flack, 88. Olympic legend Mark Spitz, 75 years old today. George Stephanopoulos turned 64. Actor Laura Dern, 58. Actor Elizabeth Banks, 51. Actor Emma Roberts, 34. Mackenzie Vega of The Good Wife is 31. And Chloe Grace Moretz, 28 years old today. Mm-hmm. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Global Movie Day. It is International Cribbage Day. It is International Snowmobile Ride Day. It is Have a Brownie Day. It is Cream Cheese Brownie Day. It is Flannel Day. It is Teddy Day. And it is Umbrella Day.
Very nice.
All right. Time for our number for the day.
Yes.
Our number for the day quiz. And start a new week every day at the end of the show. We give Ian a number for the day quiz where we give him three different choices. And based on the math, he should get one out of three right, 33%. So that's anything right above 33% is a passing grade. Anything below 33% is a failing grade.
Like last week.
And of course, we want you to be better than that. We want a winning week.
Yes.
Which is more right than wrong, 3 out of 5. And his best ever week is?
A 4 out of 5, which actually happened 2 weeks ago.
Yep, you've done that a couple of times, including 2 weeks ago as well.
Yes.
Still looking for that perfect 5 out of 5 week.
Yes.
All right.
Super Bowl.
One final Super Bowl-based number for the day.
All right. What you got?
Our number for the day is, what is the amount of money that each player on the winning team of the Super Bowl gets?
The amount of money each player on the winning team gets.
Yep. So how much additional money? This is in addition to whatever they get in their contract. But this is a bonus that every player on the winning team of the Super Bowl gets.
Okay, what are my choices?
All right, the choices are $171,000, $271,000, $371,000. So each player on the winning team of the Super Bowl gets what amount as a bonus?
$171,000, $371,000. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with my gut here. I'm going to say $271,000. I'm going with a B. It's my final answer. I'm locking it in.
All right. Players on the losing team, the Chiefs, got $96,000. Each player on the Eagles will get $171,000.
Oh, the smallest number again. Boy, I really need to check my math.
We'll try again tomorrow. Tomorrow, we will be joined by Robin Vargas of the Marathon County Public Library and more. See you then. Have a great day.
Happy Monday, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.